Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Ancient Destiny by Albert Lynn Clark is a science fiction novel set in today's time. The novel promotes women as intelligent and capable of almost anything that a man can do, and sometimes better. One reviewer says Ancient Destiny delves into profound themes such as destiny, identity, and the power of history, with the ship itself serving as a symbol of the past influence on the present. Albert Lynn Clark is a widowed, retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, civil servant, with a distinguished career spanning several decades. He's made significant contributions to military operations, technology development, and international relations. From solving bomb shortages during the Vietnam War to pioneering advancements in the global positioning system, Albert's work has left an indelible mark on modern warfare and technology. The author of the Ancient Destiny series, Albert Lynn Clark, is back with us on This Week in America. Albert, welcome back to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Yes, well, I enjoy these. I love talking about my books.
Well, this is good, and there's so much we could talk about. We could pick a title, like 20 different topics for today's program. We're going to focus on the Destiny series today, Ancient Destiny. What inspired you, with all of everything in your background, to write this science fiction book series? Where did this idea come from?
Well, I started reading novels before first grade in grade school. And I graduated to science fiction in about the fourth grade. And I ran out of books to read in science fiction. And I went looking and spent several weeks looking for a recent book that I hadn't already read that I was interested in. I couldn't find one, so I wrote my own.
Well, that's really motivation, ingenuity. I can't find one. I'm going to write one myself. And you still read, I understand, what, a couple of novels every week?
Well, I used to read two or three novels per week. And for the last year, I've been promoting my books and staying pretty busy on the phone. And so I haven't written anything recently. But I plan on it when I quit promoting my current books, because they're successful and made into movies and so forth. And then I've already got people wanting me to write more.
Well, and I can fully understand that. If you go to Albert's website, it's albertlynnclark.com, a link on a website, you can look and see all of the books that he's written, and there are many there. This is the newest. This is what he's talking about, the Ancient Destiny series. The book's available wherever books are sold, of course, on his website, albertlynnclark.com. You mentioned movies there. As people are reading this, one of the main comments is, this is so visual. This would make a great movie series, a television series. Any serious talks about making this series into a movie project?
Yes, I have multiple movie companies that I'm talking with that are making offers. I don't know whether they're real or not, because I haven't gotten any money yet. But I have several movie companies that want to make this into movies. And recently it's been translated into Hindu in India, and it's currently being translated into Urdu in Pakistan by the Pakistani Military Academy.
Wow.
And some of my other books have been in Japanese, French, Spanish, and English, of course. And I just spent the last hour talking about translating my love story, Lightning and Thunder, into Mandarin for China. I'm talking to a person in China that's going to hopefully pay for the translation, and their initial purchase will be 25,000 books. So
that would be fantastic. And that's what we talked about, the book we talked about when Albert was with us basically a year ago. It was my Lightning and Thunder, A Miracle Love Story. It's a tremendous story of Albert and his wife, and you'll have to get a copy of the book as well. When you go to his website to order Ancient Destiny books, you'll order that book as well. It was my Lightning and Thunder. Let's talk a little bit about what happens in Ancient Destiny. I mentioned, and this sets it apart from so many books, the mostly female crew. Where did you come up with that concept?
Well, my grandmother on my father's side was the first female graduate of one of the Kansas universities. My sister was the senior civilian in the Army Materiel Command that does all the research ordering and shipping of all Army equipment all over the world. And she was a senior civilian in that. One of my cousins was a main software programmer for the space shuttle before she retired.
Oh, wow.
I have another cousin. I don't even know what his job was, but I do know some of the things he developed. That he was worked for a private company and was very involved with government research. But he couldn't tell him to talk about his job, just like I couldn't talk about a lot of my job either.
Yeah, I was going to say that it should be interesting when you get everybody together, but so many had top secret jobs, you'd be just looking at each other. You wouldn't have anything to talk about because everything was all classified. Your background is so incredible, and we'll talk about that, and we'll do a couple of programs with Albert. And all that you were into, drones, GPS, you were there at the early stages of the Internet, looking for bombs, helping out President Johnson during that whole era. What's his career been like? Have you taken like all of that knowledge and sort of combined it in the series we're looking at, they're talking about now, Ancient Destiny? Is that a lot of your background that you were able to bring to life in that?
Yes, but I went beyond what currently exists.
Oh, yes.
Because there's only one way we can get to another planet that can support life. And that is a multi-generational ship like that, like a wheel, where artificial gravity is done by turning this great big huge spaceship in a spiral. So you're pressed against the outside rim of the ship the entire way, and it will take multiple generations with people being born and dying on the ship on the way there for 1,000 years to get there, or you travel faster than the speed of light. And they say that's impossible, but we've discovered what appears to be galaxies that are actually moving faster than the speed of light because we took pictures of them with our new space telescopes. And when we took pictures of them a year later, they were someplace else. And the only way they could have gotten there is to go faster than the speed of light.
Yes.
So,
wow.
And in the labs, we've actually managed to make protons, just a single proton, go faster than the speed of light. So we're a long ways from having a ship that goes faster than the speed of light, but that's essential for science fiction. And of course, you have to have artificial gravity. Otherwise, like in Star Trek, when they go to warp 9 or whatever, if they didn't have artificial gravity, everybody would be plastered to the back of the ship.
Oh, yes. Where did this interest in science fiction come from? You mentioned at an early age in reading and you couldn't find what you wanted, so you wrote your own books. Where did this come from? Was this from reading authors or early days of radio, television? Where did this come from?
Well, my grade school teachers, when I was making clay models in school, where they had this moldable clay and you could make clay models.
Oh, yes, I did that too.
Yeah. My grade school teacher said nothing could exist above the speed of sound.
Okay.
But when I was 4 years old, my father got me magazine subscriptions to Popular Science and Popular Mechanics, and I knew that wasn't true because, hey, we'd already exceeded the speed of sound many times over, like Mach 7.
Oh, yes.
7 times the speed of sound in experiment of the X-15. So I knew that wasn't true. And then while the other kids were making the airplanes with propellers, I made airplanes that are swept back wings and jet engines. and again, teachers and all the other kids said they have to have a propeller to fly. Well, so naturally I got into science. I was into science fiction because to me that was more truthful than reading about a lot of other things. Anyway, so I got interested in science fiction, and there are several things that this first book is my least favorite of the 4 book series. I started off writing. I didn't know where it was going to go. As I was writing, I was like watching a movie in my head, and I was trying to type as fast as the movie was going.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. So anyway, the first 3 books, it took me 6 weeks to write them, get copies back from Amazon as a proof copy, and then proof the proof copy, and make the corrections and send it back to Amazon and release them for print. So it took me 6 weeks to write the first 3 books.
That's an amazing. And the books are the Ancient Destiny series. You can buy them, of course, at Amazon, wherever books are sold. Information on Albert Lynn Clark's website, which is albertlynnclark.com. And like on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Mention the female crew in Ancient Destiny, the first book that we're specifically talking about in the program today. Craig is sort of the captain, or he has that on a badge that he's wearing as the captain. Not sure who's in charge. Talk about the dangers and what they're up against, because they're fighting some unreasonable odds there, aren't they?
Yeah, well, what it amounts to is there's a ship has been floating around the outside in orbit for tens of thousands of years, and people like Aristotle and Socrates and more recently Tesla and so forth was captains of the ship, and from the ship has all the knowledge of intelligent beings for hundreds of thousands of years. And so it was trying to train humans to be able to escape Earth, because the ship knows that there's an asteroid, a large asteroid the size of a small moon, that's on its way here. It's going to hit the Earth. And of course, with 31 Atlas, the current comet that has just passed the sun is going to pass Earth on December 19th this year. It's big enough that it could do some real damage. We're talking about more than what destroyed the dinosaurs if it hit Earth at the speed it's going.
Yeah, I'm reading that, and I've not really heard a whole lot about that. Are we in any danger at this point?
Well, they say the closest path is about 20 million miles.
Oh, okay. So the answer would be
However, some people have said, gee, it's accelerating and decelerating and doing all kinds of strange things. And so maybe it's intelligently piloted. Who knows? And now I read today just that they're receiving radio signals occasionally from it. Well, that's probably fake radio signal, just a something caused by the loss of metal from the past the sun. And so it came in on one side of the solar system. It went by Mars months ago, and we're on the other side of the solar system from Mars right now. So it had to pass the sun to be able to get to Earth. So it went by the sun, and now it's on its way here, and it will take until December 19th to get closest to Earth. But we took pictures of it when it went by Mars with our equipment we've got on or around Mars. So it's huge, and it's going, 300 kilometers per hour. So it would definitely make a dent if it hit the Earth. But it looks like it's not going to come that close unless it guides itself here. But anyway, that's the kind of asteroid that the ship knows is going to hit Earth. And thousands of years ago, it hit Mars and created the Rift Valley, which blew away all their atmosphere, which caused the Martians to leave Mars. And they came here and created the colony of Atlantis. And so Atlantis is a sub story within the story.
Well, yes.
So Atlantis is mentioned several times in the book, but it's not until volume 4 where you find out more about where they went after they left Earth, because obviously Atlantis doesn't exist on Earth anymore.
I remember vaguely learning about that going through the educational process. Do you believe the story of Atlantis? Is that something that you wrote about it, but do you believe in the story?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, with billions of planets out there, and we've discovered tens of thousands of planets, and we've discovered over 1,000 planets that might be suitable for life by humans. There's bound to be some other intelligent beings out there. And the story goes that they came from another planet and moved to Mars, and then they had to leave Mars and come to Earth. And then when we had the Great Flood of Noah's time, they had to leave Earth because Atlantis was sinking under the ocean, and so they left and went somewhere else. Anyway, that's just a subplot within the books, and you'll find out what happened to them in book 4. Anyway, I There's things I don't like about my first book, Ship, because but I had to set the story.
Yes.
So, first place, like the women, in history, only the captain was allowed on the ship. And the ship used a mental telepathy type thing to train them in science that didn't exist on Earth. And then the people would go back to Earth and try to do whatever they could to increase technology on Earth. But of course, they couldn't even begin to get as close as what Ship would like them to be, and there's no way they can escape Earth with the knowledge they've got. So all of a sudden, this college student goes to sleep in his dorm room and wakes up on a spaceship. And this time, the ship, instead of choosing a existing scientist that was already older, he decided to try a college student because they're running out of time. We've only got a few years left before this thing hits, and you can't even see it from Earth yet, but it's coming fast. And it is not even in our solar system yet, but it's coming. And the ship knows it's coming, but humans don't know it's coming. So he wakes up on the ship. The ship is artificial intelligence. Oh, gee, artificial intelligence. Well, that's getting to be a popular thing right now. But
Yes,
I
very
wrote the book
popular.
back in, I wrote the book in 2012, and it wasn't quite as popular back then. But anyway, this is a very benign artificial intelligence whose programmed mission by somebody in ancient history has programmed the ship to advance humanity. So that's why it's been choosing captains throughout history to be the top scientist that pushes the technology. Well, now we're running out of time, so he picks a college student who's younger and not set in their ways. And all of a sudden, they train him. He learns everything Ship knows about this impending disaster. And Craig says, "I can't do this by myself. I need help." And the Ship says, "Well, my programming doesn't allow anybody but the captain to be, trained and
Yes.
work." And he says, "Why are there seven chairs at the dining room table in the dining room?" "Well, that's for your six concubines." And Craig says, "I don't need concubines. I need scientists." So the ship helps him select different women his age. They're college students. They're very advanced. And the first one he chooses happens to be studying astrophysics, working on a PhD at 21 years old, a
Wow.
couple of years older than
Yeah.
he is. And but she's working on her PhD and getting close to graduating. And that's one of the things that Ship doesn't really have a good handle on, because Ship itself has never been anywhere except orbiting around Earth. It knows a lot, but it just simply has not been anywhere. So all of a sudden, we've got somebody that has been studying how do you navigate between the stars? So that's his first conquest. Well, okay, so he's a college student, 19, 20 years old, and he's supposed to figure out how to seduce this young woman that's very advanced and very pretty, but way above his in station. He is just a typical college student. He's smart, but he's not a genius yet. Except with the ship now, he is a genius, but he hasn't proved that to anybody. And so he has to figure out, how do I get her to agree to go off and leave her studies, her family, her friends, and live with him for the rest of her life on a ship? And he can't even mention the ship. He can't tell her about the ship. That's, verboten.
Oh, yes.
So, and he can't explain the mission yet. So how does he get her to agree to give up everything she's ever wanted and go with him on a spaceship that he can't tell her about? And of course, he needs to eventually get six total women to fill different positions, because gee, if you're going to go exploring space, you need a biologist to study the life on another planet as you're trying to find other places you can colonize. He needs a zoologist to study the animal life on that planet. He needs a geologist to look for resources that if you're going to send a colony there to that ship, to that new planet, you need to have resources like fossil fuels, maybe nuclear fuels,
yes,
maybe wood to build new houses easily. Anyway, so you need different technologies among these six women he's got to select. And so the book is saying, well, he's got poor morals. Well, some people will translate it that way, but hey, he's facing an impossible situation.
Well, yes.
In a few weeks, he's got to find six women that are willing to give up their lives and go with him as if they were going to be married for life and they're going to be trapped somewhere with him for the rest of their lives and for 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Well, yes. Wow.
And he can't tell them about the mission. He can't explain there's a ship. So he has to be, he does things that would be considered not moral, I guess, to try to seduce them to come with him.
Oh, yes. Well, there's a lot at stake here. So yes, he needs to do that.
Yeah, without physical force, now the ship can teleport him back and forth, but he can't just teleport a woman onto the ship that she's not supposed to know about. And she suddenly finds herself on a spaceship with him.
Well, yes.
And five other women.
Wow.
On the ship. So this is a touchy situation. How does he do it? Well, the book goes into a lot of length talking about that. And that's why I don't really like my first book, is because he didn't know exactly what he was supposed to do either.
Well, then and obviously finds out along the way. This is an amazing story that begins in Ancient Destiny, Book 1, and you've got the others in the series. And it follows through, and it's a remarkable story. And Albert, we're unfortunately out of time. I don't know where the time has gone. It goes quickly when we're talking about you, the books, and your background. Albert Lynn Clark is our guest. He'll be back to talk more about the Ancient Destiny series, the best place to get it. Of course, do Amazon, Barnes & Noble. His website, albertlynnclark.com. You can click on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Albert, it's a pleasure to talk about science fiction. I love your mind, the way it works, and there's so many questions. You mentioned artificial intelligence. Would love to talk about that. Some of the other technological features that we're talking about that you were probably telling the kids in grade school years ago about, and they were still doing propellers on airplanes, but you've advanced beyond that. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for being with us on the program once again.
Yep, I look forward to Escape from Earth, which is the next book, and that's where I really enjoy the rest of the other three books. The first book, I really had a hard time figuring out how to approach things.
Well, yes, and then get everybody introduced and get the groundwork up, late, like first program in a TV series where you spend all the time, and then it starts going more rapidly once everybody's introduced and the whole plot line is established. But all the books are available right now, and you can find them at Albert's website or go to Amazon. Link out by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And our thanks to EC Publishing, bringing your vision to life with expert editing, design, and marketing tools tailored to your publishing success. And Albert, thank you for being with us. We'll talk more about the series and getting them published, and hopefully some good news coming in soon on a motion picture or a TV series based on Ancient Dynasty. Thank you. We'll talk with you later. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye. We'll see you later next week.
Albert Lynn Clark, yes, our guest on the program. The information available on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.